This podcast is intended to facilitate continuing medical education. The views expressed in this recording are those of the presenter and do not necessarily reflect the views of Novartis South Africa.
Hi, my name is Kath McCormack, and I'm from the Autoimmune Alliance of South Africa. This is a three-part podcast, and it's for you if you've applied to your medical scheme for a type of medicine, a type of treatments, perhaps a biologic or some other type of specialized medicine, and your medical aid has told you that they are not going to pay for it. In part one of this podcast, I gave you a little background into how I came to do this work. And in this section, I'm going to talk about the relevant laws and the regulations. And in the final part, I'm going to tell you what you need to do if your scheme refuses to fund your treatments. I just want to make the point that I use the term medical scheme and medical aid interchangeably. Legally, they're called medical schemes. Colloquially, we all call them medical aids. It's the same thing. I want to remind you that I'm not a lawyer and I'm not a doctor. I'm really just the mom of a child with an autoimmune disease, and I've picked these things up as I've gone along. I do have some experience fighting medical schemes via the Council for Medical Schemes, and it's that experience that I'm sharing with you. So a quick reminder to those of you who, very much like me 4 or 5 years ago, had absolutely no idea what these things mean. The Council for Medical Schemes, or the CMS, is the regulator of the private medical industry in South Africa, and prescribed minimum benefits, or PMBs, refer to things that all medical schemes must fund regardless of your plan type. So it doesn't matter if you're on a hospital plan or a super fancy plan, medical schemes must fund PMBs. But it's important to note that there are different types of PMBs. And in this podcast, I focus on chronic conditions like rheumatoid arthritis, Crohn's disease, ulcerative colitis, type 1 diabetes, multiple sclerosis. There is a list on the Council for Medical Schemes website, but those are the ones that I'm going to focus on. Okay, so you've applied to your medical scheme for a treatment for your PMB chronic condition, and the scheme has said that they are not going to pay for it for one or another reason. So what do you do next? Now, in answering this question, I first have to spend a little time talking about the Medical Schemes Act, which is the law that governs this industry, as well as the regulations or the rules that apply to this act. And I'm going to tell you a little bit about what these documents say about your rights and some of your responsibilities as a medical scheme member. But before we get going, what follows next, it doesn't feel complicated for me anymore, but at this point, I've been working with it for 5 years. But if this is the first time you're hearing, then it may well feel a bit overwhelming and a bit complicated. And you might need to listen more than once. You might need to go to the CMS website and do some reading. It's all okay. It's new. Some of it's quite technical, but I've tried to simplify it as much as possible. So the first thing I want to tell you actually is that you don't really need to know anything at all about the Medical Schemes Act in order to submit a complaint against your medical scheme. It's a freely available pathway to medical scheme members, and you don't need any special knowledge or any special skills or experience to use it. In fact, if you look closely, you'll see that your medical aid has likely already told you about your option to complain in the funding rejection letter they sent you. But while it's true that you don't need special skills or experience to complain, it's worth noting that the complaints process is not quick. At best, it takes 4 to 5 weeks before the scheme even replies to your complaint, and then it can take up to 7 months before you have an enforceable ruling. So it really makes sense to have at least a few of your ducks in a row before you begin. So let's jump in. If you go to the Council for Medical Schemes website and you click Links, which appears under the Resources dropdown, you'll be directed to an up-to-date version of what's officially called the Medical Schemes Act 131 of 1998. And if you scroll further down that page, under regulations, you'll find the regulations to this act. And these are the rules that apply to the law. If you have the time and energy, I'd recommend giving these documents a read. They are written in legalese, but it's not so dense that the average person can't understand what they're saying. And I think it's probably not a bad idea for all of us as members of these schemes to review these documents, even if we don't understand every single word. But in case you don't feel like reading them, I'm going to give you some highlights. So Section 8 says that all schemes must fund the diagnosis, treatment, and care costs for all PMBs, regardless of plan type. But, it's an important but, it gives schemes the ability, in fact, the responsibility, to manage these costs to prevent them from undermining the financial health of the medical scheme, which of course puts us all at risk. So managing these costs was actually one of the primary objectives of PMBs right in the beginning. And while you do have a right to treatment for your PMB disease, your options are always limited to the most cost-effective from among the medically appropriate options available to you. So to manage the cost of PMB, schemes are allowed to use a variety of tools, and among them are things called formularies, which is just a fancy way of saying a list of treatments that the scheme will pay for. And if it's not in the formulary or it's not on the list, then the scheme doesn't have to pay. In fact, they won't pay. So rheumatoid arthritis, for example, it's a chronic autoimmune disease. It'll have a formulary of medicines that the scheme will pay for. And if you want to see that formulary, you only have to ask the scheme and they'll send it to you. And there's another cost management tool called a protocol. And very simply, this is the steps involved in treating a disease. So protocols and formularies often work together. What it means is that the medical aid will pay for certain medications at certain points in the treatments and not before. And then there are other tools that you'll likely be very familiar with, things like pre-authorization and only using doctors within the network. And all of these are designed to help the scheme manage the costs of paying for PMBs. Okay, so we've established that schemes must pay for PMBs, but they're allowed to manage the cost. But what happens when all of the cost management tools make it impossible for the scheme to meet its obligation to fund treatment and care of a PMB? So for example, let's say we have a member who's diagnosed with rheumatoid arthritis and their doctor follows the protocol and prescribes methotrexate, which is usually the first treatment used in this disease, and which incidentally successfully manages the symptoms for a lot of people living with it. But in this case, methotrexate doesn't work. And so in line with the protocol and the formulary, this member's doctor changes the medicine or she adds another medicine, and the doctor and patient continue until they run out of options. So the patient has literally used everything in the formulary, nothing has worked, they still have symptoms, their disease is not managed. So in these cases, where members have run out of treatment options for one or another reason, the regulations allow for funding of treatments outside the formulary or beyond the protocol as an exception to these cost management rules. If you're interested, these regulations appear in Chapter 5 of the regulations documents under managed healthcare. And in particular, I'm talking about Regulation 15HC and Regulation 15IC. And again, you really don't need to know the exact regulations, but it is important to understand the circumstances under which they apply and also some of the limitations. Now, you can ask the CMS to order your scheme to pay for non-formulary treatments under the following circumstances. So number one, if you've already used all the available treatments and they've failed to manage your disease, in other words, you're still symptomatic. Or two, if you've suffered some kind of harm or you will suffer foreseeable or predictable harm in the future from the formulary medicines. So that might be a side effect, for example, or an interaction with other medicines or an interaction with an underlying condition that you have. And because of that, you can't use these formulary options. So for those of you taking notes, in these cases, it's Regulation 15IC. You've run out of treatment options. There are none available for you to use within the formulary. Now, you can also ask the CMS to order your scheme to fund your non-formulary treatments if the protocol is not relevant to you. So again, perhaps there's an underlying disease or an allergy or a condition, something that prevents you from using the medicine in the formulary at that time. Like say, for example, you were just diagnosed really late, series of failures resulting in you being diagnosed with your disease months or even years after it first started. Now, in that case, there isn't time to wait before you start appropriate treatments, and your doctor has to escalate your treatment right from the beginning, and the protocol therefore isn't relevant to you. So for those of you taking notes, this is Regulation 15HC, which deals with protocols, and it establishes your rights to exceptional funding when the protocol isn't relevant to you. Now, there's one other very important thing to note about these regulations, and it goes back to the cost management objective. And just because you have a PMB that hasn't responded to available treatment, or you can't use available treatment, it doesn't mean the scheme has to pay for anything that you and your doctor come up with. The scheme is still only obliged to fund the most cost-effective from among appropriate options. And I'm going to spend a little bit more time talking about that in the next episode.
For more information on this podcast, send an email to info@autoimmunealliance.co.za. Novartis is a global healthcare company that provide solutions to address the evolving needs of patients worldwide.
We are with you, listening, learning, to help you live life on your terms. Reimagining medicine together.